Hi everyone, it's Caitlin Johnston here with the Cocoon Sessions, a special edition of Going Rogue. I'm here with Tim Foley. We're recording this in the afternoon. We happen to live in the most noisy place on planet Earth, I do believe.
Yeah, ground those planes, man. They ain't got no people in them anyway.
Yeah, planes, trains and automobiles. That's where we live. So please excuse the background noise. Usually we do this at nighttime, so it's a little bit quieter, but... I don't know, inspiration struck. So how are you going, Tim?
Pretty good. Just, you know, furious with my countrymen, like usual.
You have been
about my status quo. No, just really annoyed with them. Just how stupid. And now it's Trump supporters. It's, you know, we go back and forth.
Yeah.
Between who we're more irritated with, the Democrats or the Republicans. Now the Trump supporters are being ridiculous.
They really are.
Such shrieking, hysterical drama queens.
Yes.
Oh my God. Just shrieking about China in exactly the same way we watched the Russiagaters just a few years ago and have ever since.
And they were laughing with us at them. Like,
right.
They thought that was hilarious too. They were like, ha ha ha, you know, like Russia's been a threat. Like, Russia's any more of a threat than it used to, like, was a year ago. These people. And it's exactly the same thing. They just get obsessed with just, and it's like a switch is turned on, isn't it? Yeah. Like, oh, now you guys hate China.
Well, it's not so much like a switch. It's a little bit more like one of those, watching a zombie outbreak, but not one of those like slow motion, slow walking zombie ones, more like a really fast one, like the 28 days later zombies that can run. Like it does happen, like you watch it unfold and it doesn't happen all at once, but it catches hold and you see, okay, that one's crazy now, that one's crazy. They're all, okay, great. Now everyone is crazy. Now
yeah.
Everyone is a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the, now Caitlin, okay. So, you know, the ones who try to sound reasonable, but actually, well...
Actually, well, Caitlin, you may be surprised to know this, but the Chinese government is not made of angels. They're not these amazing, wonderful... Yeah, no shit, idiot. Yes, China, they've always had an authoritarian government. That's not new. The thing that is new is the propaganda that has infected your brain.
Yes, and I know that because I have the exact same opinion of China today that I did 6 weeks ago and that I did a year ago. Like, things haven't changed.
Because it's the same fucking country.
It's the same fucking country, yeah. They had a virus and, you know, they kind of covered it up and lied about it for the first few weeks, which is exactly what Trump did, exactly the same path he followed because he was trying to protect the economy over the, you know, actual
Well, Trump spent longer doing it. I guess that is the main difference.
That is the main difference, yeah. And I would say that's a fairly large difference too. And this is not whataboutism. And this is like, you know, these shit like that happens.
But that, I mean, that's exactly why they're all now bleeding about China, right? It's because otherwise everyone's going to start talking about how horrible Trump is.
Well, and look.
You know, during an election year.
Yeah, this has shown up all the problems of not just Trump, but the Republican Party, of capitalism, of libertarianism, of all these things that, you know, that the ideology is looking very shaky right now. Because it just, as soon as we moved into a period of time where we had to care about each other, capitalism has no answer to that. Never has.
We're going to get by this together. We're going to get through this together. With our rugged individualism.
Yes.
Together, we can rugged individualism our way out of this.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. Capitalism was made by men for men to value men and specifically to leave out women. Like money and capital, the whole idea was to reward men for doing men's work, but it was not to make sure that it didn't ever, ever touch the palms of women doing women's work. And women's work is primarily caring work. That'll get me totally screwed at the next feminist meeting, I know that. But also, that's true. You know, if you bear the babies and you're responsible for the elderly in your family, well, that's a big part of your workload. And a huge part of women's workload goes completely unpaid. And that's what happens when you have a virus like this. suddenly you're leaning on all of this unpaid work to get the job done, and it's just not there anymore because, you know, capitalism has taken over, taken women out of the home, which is fine, you know, but it hasn't replaced it with anything. Like, there's no... I think I went off the track there.
No, that's very accurate. Now you've got all these... You're going to have all these people who were previously firm believers in the status quo who are like, oh, yeah, honey, I'm really sick now. Can you please take care of me and also take care of the kids and also go to work?
Yeah.
So, because no one's going to be making any money and we need money.
Yeah.
Can you be three people, please? The status quo works fine if you're at least three people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, that has been really annoying. You know what I wanted to do, though, for something different? Everyone's been getting so stressed out, and I can see it. You can see it online. You can feel it. You can feel it in the supermarkets. Everyone is really anxious, even if they're not a naturally anxious person. Everyone has a lot of worries and stuff. So I thought maybe we could do one of my little tricks for getting yourself back into your body.
Oh, you're so good at those.
I have so many, don't I?
You do.
So I thought I'd just do one, and maybe each podcast we could do another one. Because not every trick works for every person. Like, that's... We're all different. We're all made of different stuff. But,
So what's our trick? What's today's trick? Today's relaxation, get in your body trick.
Yawning. Yeah, it's really simple. You know... There's something about yawning that triggers a relaxed response in your brain, because you can't really be yawning and running from a tiger at the same time. And what happens is that we get into the what they call the amygdala brain, the reptile brain, when things are going badly and we're you know, stressing out and we're just running on empty, we're running on fear. And we'll have a fear response, and it's very hard to trick yourself out of that. Well, people say that, but there are ways you can actually just hack your body into relaxing, and one of them is yawning. And you might have to do a few fake yawns. And I find stretching, like, as well, like, do the big yawn stretch. Gets it going as well.
There have probably not been too many podcasts when the people doing the podcast want their audience to be yawning. Definitely make sure there's a big yawn fest this year, podcast.
It's not really a selling point, is it?
No, it works, man.
Yeah, yeah. So just,
I mean, it probably already did. Y'all probably, if you didn't try to, you probably did by accident.
Yeah. And feel that. I feel better.
Mm,
do you feel better?
Yeah.
Like, it just feel more, less stressed. Sorry, I got you set up. So, yeah, that's just a one little thing that you can do. And it's, I mean, it is the most counterintuitive thing to try and do when you're stressed out and worried about things, is to go, oh, I should yawn. But that's exactly why you should try. So if you can remind yourself during the day just to take a few yawns.
It's a pattern disruptor. If you're on this pattern of stress, yeah. Of course you're in stress brain, so you're not going to think to yawn unless you've trained yourself to think to yawn.
Yeah, right. And I'm not saying that you won't stress 5 minutes later, but you, like, it is amazing how much stress you take off the body and off the body systems if you give it 5 minutes. Like, while you're in your amygdala brain, you're not actually functioning. Your digestion isn't functioning optimally. Everything is going towards thinking about this problem. All of your glucose, all your nutrients, everything in your body rushes to your brain. And so that's why, you know, doctors always say reduce stress to stay healthy. And it makes a difference if you can just reduce stress, you know, a few times a day, just with a bit of a yawn.
Because that's your real goal here. The reason you called these the cocoon sessions is because you really want people to kind of pull inward.
Yeah.
And since everyone's humanity's kind of going into hibernation for a while.
Right.
And it would be really good if we were sort of gestating in our little cocoon and come out better than we are, but you can only really do that if you're in your home and you're relaxing and
yeah. And right now, that's, I mean, it is difficult. The news is just pounding us with stress, with anxiety riddled sentences that just make your blood pressure spike, you know.
Half of America is now suddenly worried about this country that they never thought about a few months ago.
As well, yeah. I mean, there's misdirection of this, of these things as well. So, and that's a really good example of how all of your worries, 99% of them are not doing, they're completely ineffectual and not doing anything. In fact, I would say 100% most of the time. You can get by just on your inspiration brain. You can rely on your animal body to do the things that it needs to do, and to remind you to do the things that you need to do in the future without, you know, perseverating, chewing over things over and over and over again, just going through those cogs and those loops, those thought loops that come up and just drive you crazy. You can leave them be. They don't actually help.
It was probably quite useful to have that part of the brain really engaged when there were saber-toothed tigers and we lived near the saber-toothed tigers.
Right.
And those saber-toothed tigers got hungry a lot. That was really important to kind of just be constantly scanning for threats.
Right.
And constantly worried about the threats. It's probably the only reason there are humans, because I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of a saber-toothed tiger, but it's ridiculous that we survived that being a thing. But now there are none of them. You're probably very unlikely to encounter a saber-toothed tiger in your living room. So you can pretty much, if you're just sitting around, you're safe and there's no actual threat in the here and now.
You know, I would even say too, even back in those days, like we didn't technically have like the brains that we have right now anyway. You know, the narrator mind came in relatively late in proceedings, and people thought it was the voice of God. You know, they would hear their own thoughts being narrated by a voice.
Oh, yeah,
and then
I've
they
heard
would,
about that.
Yeah. So I think even, you know, back when we were wearing loincloths, we would have been in presence. And, you know, in presence, you are alert and aware to everything. And then when you see a saber-toothed tiger or, you know, something alerts your fear thing, then it
right.
fires
well,
up.
Right, because you don't need verbiage. You don't need mental chatter for that. You do need it to be sitting there and going, like, oh, yeah, but then they go to the office and there's Karen and she's going to be talking to me again.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. All that. And I'm like, fucking dad, God damn you. That's
yawn,
all verbal stuff.
Yawn. Yep.
And we're in the here and now again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, on the plains.
I've forgotten where we even are at. What are we doing? Oh, yeah. So I wanted to talk about, there's a very viral tweet going around at the moment. It's from Tom. I wonder if he's MySpace Tom. Because we really should get him to fire up MySpace if he's still around. That would be good.
No, that's not him.
That's not him. Okay. Anyway, here's his tweet. Wow. Earth is recovering. And then he's got some dot points here. Air pollution is slowing down. Water pollution is clearing up. Natural wildlife returning home. Coronavirus is Earth's vaccine. We're the virus.
Wow.
Okay, I love all of that till the last sentence.
That's not a very Caitlin sentence.
We're the virus. People are the virus. I think actually, you know, I've fought with, you know me. You know me, Tim. And I've fought with people over and over about this notion that people are a virus and people are the problem for years and years and years. And I've never had any evidence that I can actually point people to say, see, people aren't the problem. Capitalism is. but now I do, right? Because right. the only thing that has changed, we haven't actually left. Thanos has not come and clicked his fingers and destroyed half of us. That is not what has happened right now. We have exactly the same amount of people, give or take, as we did, you know, before Christmas. That people haven't left. What has actually been diminished is capitalism. That's the thing that's changed. We're not actually, you know, we're not fighting for every last bite. We're not stressing about getting the next, you know, the latest and greatest car. We're not driving off into the middle of the city to sit at a desk to do it a job that you just know no one needs to do. You know no one needs to do, but yet you do it because you need money to go home and buy food and, you know.
And probably buy a bunch of shit you don't need.
Yeah, buy an even bigger and bigger and bigger TV and, like, you know, a really nice handbag and something and to get your boobs done or whatever the, you know, whatever your thing is, just to keep buying and buying and buying and buying and buying. The consuming. And
that's the thing that stopped.
That's the thing that stopped, you know? And I'm pretty sure until this started, people would have gone, yeah, well, we need to do all of that. I think we're going to find out we don't.
Yeah, because this is sounding like unless they get a vaccine really soon, and it doesn't look like they will, this could go on for a while.
Yeah.
Not just like a couple of months. Like, it could be, we're going to have resurgences of this thing. Yeah, it could kind of be completed sometime this year, but it could also go a couple years.
It could. And I think what I see a lot of governments talking about is having these kind of periods of allowing people back into doing relatively normal things, and then the virus will come back up again, and then bringing people back into social distancing and so kind of allowing the virus to make its way through the community, but slowly enough so that the health services can keep up. Mm. Which means, though, that we will be stopping work, you know, every 2 or 3 months for the next 2 years, probably.
Wow. That'll be kind of interesting. So, like, we'll have a big, like, block party. Are block parties a thing here?
Not really.
Everyone should have block parties. We should, even everywhere, even places they never had them before, we should bring in block parties.
Right.
And that's just so, that's where, like, your whole block, more or less, that you just close off the roads and then you have, like, you hire, like, one of those jumper things for the kids.
Oh, yeah, we have street parties.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. You could have, like, that. That would be great. Just anywhere, like, your small local, where you just party with your neighbors. And we all have fun and we greet each other and catch each other up on what it's been like in a hibernation. And we all infect each other. But not too many. Just to the right amount. And then we go back into hibernation. And we kind of miss our neighbors after learning their names because we cared about them this time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh,
that sounds really nice.
That sounds great. Come on.
I think it reminds me of that Andrew Bird song, you know, my favorite apocalypse song, Tables and Chairs. There'll be tables and chairs, pony rides and dancing bears. There'll even be a band.
Yeah.
That's the sort of apocalypse I want. So, yeah. Yeah. We'll find a way through this. You know, I have a Canadian friend in Alberta who was telling me this morning she's been so stressed out because she has her own, she's a sole trader, her own business. And she's, you know, had to close her doors because it's, she's a masseuse and a yoga practitioner. And so she's just not sure where the money was coming from. But the Canadian government has come through and her province has come through. And so she's going to be getting, I think she said, 900 Canadian a fortnight. And she's also eligible for a business loan of 30 grand, I think, she said, and all these. Oh, and they're going to also put a freeze on rents, I think. That was her thing. So gradually, she's starting to relax, you know. Right. This is actually, she can kind of chill now. You know,
go
she will
Canada.
Have, yeah, have look food for a kid.
They just close their borders and all of a sudden they're sane. Just had to shut out those crazy Americans. Start taking care of each other.
Yeah. Well, you are pretty loud, you know. Yeah. It's like, hush, 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 hush.
Can't hear ourselves think up here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and it looks like even Trump has realized where his bread is buttered in an election year, that he's going to have to, looking after the economy, and I say that with, you know, talking marks in the air, is one thing. But he fucked that anyway. Like, you know, that,
that ain't going to happen.
Right. But looking after people will definitely look after votes.
Right. So it looks like he was so dismissive of the virus because he wanted to make sure the economy stayed booming until November so that he could get reelected, because he kind of got tunnel vision just thinking, okay, so every president has to keep the economy booming, and if they can do that, they'll get reelected. So he's just, no, it's fine, nothing to worry about. Oh, shit, fuck.
Yeah.
Gotta make some big changes, which happened yesterday. and now, he's voiced being open to a lot of changes that would have been kind of unthinkable a few days ago.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully he even discovers the joys of socialism. It won't be called that, will it? It'll be called stimulus. Oh, I don't even care what it's called, though. Whatever.
Call it nationalist socialism.
That's been done before, babe.
It didn't work out, huh?
It did not work out, no.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, shit. Shit. Anyway, right. So, so I feel like this is going to be a really beautiful time of rest, not just for the people, but also for the planet. And this tweet is wonderful in a lot of other ways. Like he's got some beautiful pictures of Venice and all the canals. They're all clearing up. There's swans and fish, and the water is blue, and the skies are blue above Beijing. And look, there's dolphins on the coast of Italy now, and they're coming up to the. Isn't that wonderful? So
it's just the people aren't capitalisming.
Yeah.
Right now. Something you said, like, that's the kind of apocalypse I want. where it's like, it's just everyone chills out and goes into hiding for a good chunk of the time for a while. That is an apocalypse, but it's not a death. It's just a death of the actual virus. Like that tweet where that guy says, "We are the virus." He's thinking, so if all the humans are gone, the virus is gone. But what you're saying is, no, it's actually capitalism that is the virus, and that is the thing that we're going to let die off.
Yeah, and all we need is for, you know, a tipping point of people to say, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore, really. I don't want to be...
And then you'll get your apocalypse of capitalism.
That would be wonderful. That's all I really want.
Mm.
I would love that.
That and then we would just have a healthy world.
But I do think it relates to... the way that we think, you know, and I wanted to bring it back to that we all have our own inner capitalist, and that's something that we can probably work on in this time of cocooning.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we were brought up in a society that just marinating in capitalism. And so from a very young age, we learnt, how work was important, and you had to be a good worker bee, and how to keep busy, that's what you need to do, and that's how you become a worthy person. And if if you weren't busy, then you were lazy, and if you were lazy, then you're allowed to, like, no one cares about you and you can die. So there's this kind of social Darwinism, you know, that goes along with capitalism. So I know even I, who I don't believe any of that shit, but I still am really hard on myself. I still have thoughts about how I should be doing things, you know, like, and if I'm resting, like I think of myself as lazy.
You can take resting. You can take just literally not doing anything.
Yeah.
Just breathing and make a problem out of it.
Yes, exactly.
It's just everything's working fine. The heart's ticking along. The belly's full. You're just chilling out. Oh, no, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Ring some alarm bells.
Yeah.
And most people have that running all the time and they don't even think about it.
No, I think it's like, yeah, I mean, I think it's, this is, we've been inculcated with it with our parents and then into schools. Schooling is just one big long busy, come on, busy, like, you know, we're preparing
hammering you. Capitalism into your head.
It really is.
And they keep teaching you to trust the TV when it tells you news stories.
Yeah, but it's also teaching you to stay busy all the time. Mm. And that you're always preparing, and they never tell you what you're preparing for. I mean, they always give you the goal and then you get there, but by then you're always preparing for something else. Mm. So there's this constant just churn of like just always doing something, and the resting is not valued at all. Like, it really isn't. And even when it is, that they're like, you know, okay kids, now we're going to meditate, and then they put them on the and then they sit them around and you're doing meditation, we're all doing the meditation, we're doing it, and the kids hate it because yeah. It's another thing to do. They just don't want to do it. Like, kids naturally want to have long rest periods, you know, long playful periods. They just love playing and being, and it's whirling and twirling and swirling and, like, you know, just going around in circles. Like, I have a friend right now who's their little kid is just the most gorgeous thing, and they're in lockdown and all he wants to do is run in circles because that's fun. Apparently when you're three, that's all you really want to do. So your kids are like it is natural for us to want to rest and then want to create. That's what I don't think capitalism ever allows you to know, that you, in general, you like to be active. Mm. Like, people are at their best when they're active after they've been rested. Mm. Not active all the time, but we do like doing things. We love, you know, building houses and, you know, making things look nice and helping each other and making food and
making art
and getting our hands dirty, gardening. Mm. All sorts of things like that, you know. One of the richest guys in England, the Earl of Spencer, right, he doesn't need to do anything at all, but he's a farmer. Because it's fun for him, you know? Mm. Farming is fun. Lots of things are really fun.
Yeah, it seems the only people this idea of people just being lazy if you don't force them to be slaves.
Yeah.
No, like it's the worst thing in the world if they stopped moving around doing useless jobs that
yeah.
for no reason. Oh, no, we need another petroleum company. The ones we have aren't enough. We need to get this one off the ground. You don't need that. This idea that if people aren't running around doing all these unnecessary things, that would be bad, and people would stop, and they would just be these useless video game playing couch potatoes. Right.
Yeah.
And really, the only people I have ever known who just freeze and stay, like, playing video games or just staring fixed at the TV for, you know, their whole lives are people who are miserable and are trying to escape
from the misery. Yeah, and I think that's when you... Yes.
And they're miserable because of this shitty status quo, largely.
Right, and they get stuck in... There's a beautiful phrase for it, where you cannot make decisions anymore.
Mm.
Because you get stuck in a freeze state. You know, there's variations on fear. We know about fight and we know about flight, but we do not really talk enough about freeze, and we don't talk enough about fawning as well. But
you want to talk about this?
Well, I'm not sure.
So like fight or flight, everyone knows.
Yeah, freezing.
Freeze.
Now that's the most common. Yeah, the freeze and fawn are the most common, especially for women, because you know, even in nature, the smaller animals, they will play dead. So that's freezing, and fawning is something you see women do a lot. Like, they'll get quite intimidated by someone, by another female usually, and realize that they are dangerous to them. And instead of running the other way, which they probably should, they try to befriend them. They tend and befriend them so that they might stay safe in the future, you know, that they might not be hurt by them. And that's how you end up in an abusive relationship, like with other women, but also with men as well. You know, there's this kind of intimidation and fear that comes in, and your poor little childish brain goes, I know, I'll just be really nice to them and then they won't hurt me. But of course, what happens there is then this scary person finds himself, like this predator finds himself some prey, or she finds herself some prey.
And since you've put yourself on their side in order to protect yourself, that's where like you can have some kind of Stockholm syndrome like abusive dynamics come up.
Right, yeah. Because you probably won't even let yourself realize that that's what's happened there, you know? We all like to think that we're making these conscious, wonderful, clear, logical decisions in every moment. And we're not. Like, you know, we make really dumb decisions. And sometimes people just can't go back on something just because they can't admit to themselves it was a pretty dumb choice at the time, you know? And also it is difficult to get out of those relationships because those people are honestly very dangerous and scary, and that's why you tended and befriended them in the first place. And now you realize that if you start trying to back out slowly, like in the back door, they're going to notice and they are going to come after you. And they're not just going to come after you, they're going to come after you, all your friendships, they're going to try and cut you down in your social circle. You know, the people can be really, really toxic, especially socially. So yeah,
sounds like a lot of progressives we know in the Democratic Party.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. I mean, these kind of institutions are based on these tending and befriending dynamics. Like, yeah, you kind of find yourself in these institutions where you're friends with complete fucking psychos, you know, and getting out of there is really scary. So you're kind of stuck in the middle. But so that's fawning, and then freezing. It's just what you were talking about is when you turn into a beanbag. And that's a really common fear reaction. And so when you see someone doing that, it's not because they're healthy. It's because they're, you know, in a depression or they're, you know, they're stuck trying executive dysfunction. That was the little phrase I was trying to recall. Yeah. So you will have trouble making decisions because every decision seems like it has another four or five decisions that goes along with it. And then you just kind of get stuck on the couch just doing nothing at all, which is where the internet can come helpful, I think, because a lot of that Tumblr crowd have explored that really beautifully with their memes and stuff, and just how to kind of unfreeze yourself, get yourself grounded. The yawning thing, that'll help, you know, if you do it consciously. But yeah, you can find yourself in a like in a freeze state for days, months, years.
Right. But yeah, where I was getting at was if we had a healthy society, like that's that freeze state is what the capitalist mindset assumes every human being does if you don't force them into slavery.
Right.
But really, it's just what people do when they're stressed. And if we can just get people to relax more, we'd see a lot less of that. And we'd just see a normal pattern of movement and creativity. Not this frenetic, unnecessary hyperactivity, but healthy activity paced out at a slow, healthy pace.
Well, we know from studies, you know, Google tried to kind of optimize the human brain as much as possible for their operations in a purely capitalistic, you know, sense.
Oh, God, they would have they got their people taking acid and stuff.
Yes.
But not like for the reasons you should take acid, just to make some billionaire a few more billion dollars.
Right, yeah, yeah. Because they're always trying to
turn some millionaires into billionaires. It's so gross.
It really is gross. Because they're always trying to turn on humans' creativity and imagination. They realize that that's where the gold is, right? That our insights and our imagination and stuff like that don't happen when you lean on someone. Like, and they don't happen if someone's feeling under stress to do something. Like, you know, if, like, I've done lots of jobs in my life writing for people, and I've never written as well as I do now, ever, 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 ever. Because you know, quite frankly, when you're writing for someone's bloody store or their, you know, their new venture or whatever that they're very excited about, it's not very inspiring. You're just doing it for the money. You're just kind of like, it's not coming from you. It's not your heart. It's not something that you're really passionate about. But that's
endlessly frustrating for the moneymakers.
Isn't it?
They see that creativity out there. It's already, they know it exists. And so they want to have it.
They want to have it and they want to foster it.
Yeah, in the same way they want grassroots energy, so they try to always astroturf
and
make fake versions of it.
Yeah.
It never works and it's never the same and anyone can recognize it at a glance.
Right, yeah.
They want that inspiration, but it's kind of like, you know, some husband and wife who are having problems, and so the sex thing isn't working, and the other when one of them is just like kind of pawing at their genitals saying, "Come on,
and make it work,
do turn on."
It's the same thing, isn't it? Well, creativity and sexuality are basically the same things. I don't think we think about that enough. Like, you know, the ultimate creativity is making a baby. So that's the essence of creativity. And then we birth ideas and we birth books and we birth, you know, concepts and buildings and all sorts of other things. And they're all kind of babies as well. So our sexuality, when our sexuality is blocked up, our creativity is blocked up as well. But that's not what we were talking about. Oh, we're talking about Google. So they're always trying to optimize imagination, creativity, that sort of thing. I don't know if they've gone into sexuality. That would be truly gross, wouldn't
it? If they haven't yet, they will eventually.
Oh, I'm disgusting. Anyway, I do remember one of the...
If you could see her face. She's not just saying that to make a point. She's not just making some ideological argument. That was a visceral reaction.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. Google. They turn so bad so quickly. Anyway... So they were always trying to optimize their people. And one of the things they discovered was, I'm sure this may have been done as another study elsewhere. I'm not sure it was a Google study, but they discovered that the human brain only has about 3 hours of thinking time per day. It's the glucose that you chew up in your brain. We go through it quite rapidly. So, and you can only really concentrate for 45 minutes. That's another thing. So really, we've only got 3 hours in us every day to really do creative stuff. The rest of the time should be just doing, you know, relaxing things, a bit of housework, a little bit of gardening, whatever you want to do. It doesn't have to be or nothing at all, I guess, you know, on some days. But you can't expect any more out of yourself than that. And so people are going off to work and getting, you know, paid for 8 or 9 hours a day or whatever, but they're only really probably using maximum their brain for 3 hours. And everyone kind of knows that, don't they? Like if you're doing these high-octane creativity jobs.
Right. If you give someone an assignment at 1 p.m. and tell them that you want it done by 4 p.m., you're going to get a piece of shit.
Yeah. But if you give them to it at 9 in the morning and say it needs to be done by midday, you'll get something decent. You can kind of do it then. But, yeah, by 1 p.m., you've already had 7 coffees, done so much Twittering and all your Facebooking and, you know, played several games of Candy Crush. And you're all out of glucose. You're all done. So, yeah, that's why Google, I think they have all their creativity in the morning and then they give you a nap and hopefully revive a bit more of your glucose.
Squeeze a little bit more artificial creativity out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the more I think about that, the grosser it is.
It really is disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't want to say rapey because you don't want to downplay the thing that rape is, but it's the same kind
of
creepy.
It's on the spectrum of that. Yeah, it's on the rape spectrum, let's say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was my little thought for today.
That's a pretty good thought there, Caitlin.
Thank you, Timothy. So I hope everyone is going well. If you want to tell us, what about we do some worries? What about if people tell us some of their worries?
in the comments?
Yeah, and then we'll just go through them, I guess.
Okay.
That might be helpful for people, because I think I asked, you know, what are you afraid of right now on Twitter and on Facebook, and got hundreds and hundreds of replies. And it was interesting to me that they came down to about four or five things mainly. There was a few outliers,
right,
but there's some really strong themes there. Everyone seems to be worried about very similar things. And so maybe if we could go through those things, maybe next time, I don't know. Okay. But meanwhile, remember to yawn. And keep well. We love you all.
Thanks, y'all.